Hello. You are listening to We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I'm your host, Mike Leeds, and this is volume 147. This week, we've got a special interview episode with the band Only. If you haven't heard yet, the band has released four singles from their upcoming full-length album, due out on Cold Lunch Recordings on July 12th. The latest of which, Why Not, just came out yesterday, May 31st. Before we dive in, I do want to remind you that this show is part of a network of shows under the We Own This Town name. We're a bunch of podcasts, all hosted by Nashville residents, and you can check us out at weownthistown.net. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at We Own This Town. One of those shows, San Dimas Today, the Bill and Ted podcast, is having an event over at Vinyl Tap on June 9th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's just kind of a celebration of all things Bill and Ted. There's going to be beer specials and an original art show and vinyl giveaways. It's going to be a pleasant hang. I suggest you come out. This probably won't be the last time you hear about that because there's one more of these episodes before that event. All right, so yeah, getting on to this interview, just to give you a little background with Only, they've been playing around town for a few years. They released an EP called Language that I stumbled upon a while back. It's great. You should check it out. We had a really nice chat here in the We Own This Town studios just about their history with the city, how they fit in, how they got involved with Cold Lunch, what their plans are as a band. We had a great hang. It was a really fun time. The band is funny and thoughtful and honestly capable of writing songs that fit into this interesting genre that's between dream pop and punk. It's reverby and dreamy, but it's also forceful and emphatic. There's probably like a new subgenre name that we could come up with in there. We'll get back to regularly scheduled music playlist episodes soon, but expect more of these interview episodes as time goes on. I'm going to try and find a balance there, showcasing new music and talking to bands a little bit more in depth. I like it. It's my show. We're going to do it. So here's my chat with BJ, Brian, Josephine, and Evan from Only. We are having our conversation currently. This is it.
It's happening.
We're in the episode right now.
All right.
So we are chatting with Only, the band. So let's just do a quick introduce yourself. Go around the room here.
My name is BJ.
And what do you play? What is your role?
I play bass. That is my role.
All right.
This is Joe, and I play guitar and sing backup and
lead
sometimes.
I'm Brian, I'm the drummer, and I sing the majority of the songs.
And I'm Evan, and I play guitar.
Excellent. All right. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
This will come out after your newest single is coming out. That is slated for May 31st, if I'm correct.
Yeah,
right?
That's tomorrow, baby.
You are playing the East Room, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did that show go, since this is coming out afterwards?
It was literally the best show of our year so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really great that you played such a great show.
We all surfed at the same time.
I mean, there was that one thing that happened that we don't want to talk about,
but
you know, we won't talk about that. So,
Jack White was there.
No, he wasn't.
Jack White retweeted your tweet. I think that's a Bird Cloud lyric. And your album is coming out in July 12th. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
All right, so we'll get to all that. That's where we're headed. But let's rewind quite a bit and do a little band history. Let's figure out how all this started, where it all came from, who wants to start, and tell me how the band formed.
I nominate Brian to say that.
Take a spaghetti. Well, the band started, it was kind of like the reason that we all moved here, and Evan and BJ and I, kind of the main reason that we all moved into a house together here in Nashville, or Antioch where we are, but it's close enough.
And still counts.
Yeah. Our main focus was like, all right, we're going to put a band together, so.
Where were you moving from?
Me and Brian were moving from Madisonville, Kentucky, where we're from originally.
Evan was coming from Woodbury.
Brian and I went to college in Murfreesboro, and so we both ended up, I failed to move to California, and so I was back in my parents' house for a minute, and then
I failed at everything, so I was back in my parents' house for a minute.
House got failure.
My shit back together.
So yeah, we looked for a house, and then BJ decided that he wanted to move down here as well, and then it took us a while to find our groove musically. It was like a year or something.
And we're talking late 2014.
Yeah.
It's going back about 5 years now.
And the first thing we actually did as a project was, never mind, should I bring up the mothballs? Never mind.
You already did. It's too late.
We had a little rap project that we did. the three of us, before we actually started playing real music.
They're just kind of songs about animals and being friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys abandoned a project that was rap songs about animals and being friends?
That was, if you can believe it, yeah, we did.
Well, I disapprove of that completely. Well, but
you haven't heard any of it?
Well, so
fair. You might feel differently.
Fair. Yeah. If you want to pass me some MP3s of that to play at the end of the show, would love to include that, just for some historical reference.
No.
Obviously, we'll pass on that. So you all know each other. You move down MTSU, presumably. You end up in Antioch in a house together, figuring out your sound, maybe starting with rap, maybe doing some other genres. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe there was some metal in there. Maybe there was some ambient. I don't know. Seems like you went a lot of places, but eventually settled on what I kind of refer to as like a dream pop sound. I know genres being applied to bands is often a broad stroke that mm-hmm. is not really distinct enough to really encompass everything, but it's kind of got that. It's pop, it's rock, it's pretty dreamy a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't disagree with that, personally.
I mean, by all means, do disagree.
Dream punk.
Yeah, there's less synth now.
Say our early stuff would definitely be more easily classifiable as dream pop.
That's what we
as opposed to where
actually.
We are now. Yeah,
yeah, and I think there is like there's an emphasis behind it that is not applicable to dream pop. I mean, there's like a real energy there that is very refreshing. I mean, I remember just stumbling upon the Language EP that you released in 2017 and was like, oh, hello. I am very into what I'm hearing here.
Thank you.
But I didn't know much of anything about the band. So do you consider that like your first like foray out into the world, or are those previous releases that I see here on Bandcamp like just testing the water, or that just like they're there and I was not aware of them?
No, that's a good way to put it. We were trying to figure out, you know, our identity and our sound. And I think once Joe joined the band, that really, like, it all started to click. And BJ decided to make the switch over from synth to playing
to bass, yeah,
which was actually his first instrument growing mm-hmm. up. So, nice. Like, it was a pretty smooth transition and everything, like, fell into place since then. So I think Language would be, like, the first real deal, like, only release.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So how does Joe get introduced into the band? When does this occur? How does this occur? Why does this occur?
To be honest, I don't remember how we became friends.
I don't really either.
I really don't remember meeting you guys.
pretty much through my ex, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't remember that moment like that we met.
Sure.
That is strange, because I don't really...
I think that means you can just make up whatever you want.
Probably,
yeah.
It was
destiny.
Right.
But yeah, we had a connection, and... one day we were playing darts mm-hmm. at Will Hagen's.
Yep.
And they asked me if I wanted to join the band.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
To play lead guitar, which was really strange.
Which obviously we had discussed prior to that among the three boys.
How did that conversation go?
You were like, how can we trick Joe into playing music with us?
Yeah. I think that was actually...
They needed a token lesbian.
And look at us now.
We crossed our minds.
I know, I'm just kidding.
What is your history with the city and with the music scene? Like, how were you playing in bands already?
Well, yes, I've played in a few bands throughout my adulthood, I guess. I started playing, like, solo stuff, coffee shops and school talent shows and stuff like that in high school, and then started playing my own songs at just local coffee shops that would book me.
Sure.
And that kind of developed into... a full band situation, which is now Wildfront, which is another...
I'm familiar.
Yeah, so that's kind of my history. I've played in various other kinds of bands as well. I think Holy Coast was probably pretty similar to what we're doing now, which is fun.
It's a great band.
Just like pretty punk, you know?
Cool. So you're playing in various bands. They're enjoying what you're doing. Figure out some way to trick you into playing with them yes. as well. You're on board with that idea.
Well, yep,
we
yes.
succeeded.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
We got you.
Yeah, they got me.
So at what point is that? Language EP is already out at that point. Is that right?
No, that was...
She hopped on right before we did that. So she was able to very quickly and efficiently write.
Yeah, I want to say we even...
the songs that we had been working on for a while. Like, she did a good job of jumping in and like...
Yeah, I want to say we even already had the studio time booked.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
the sessions for that EP. It was like, hey, Joe, if you're going to do it, you got to do it because it's happening right now.
Yeah, so I think we were doing like twice a week practices at brush her up on the songs and get it all figured out. And then BJ wrote bass parts, like, on the fly, basically, because he had the synth parts for all the songs, but then it was like, we need a bass, somebody should add it.
Right.
Of course, it's him.
And then, yeah, that was pretty much at the studio while recording that EP. It was like...
And we had kind of an aha moment. It's like, why don't you just be the bass player? And then the live setup will be easier and it'll sound more, I don't know, have more energy. Like,
we did play a handful of shows after Joe joined the band before I switched to bass.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a few, not very many, but there's a couple. Yeah, those are probably the most interesting shows for the audience.
And then you stopped immediately.
Yeah, it was
that's
like
a good way to put it.
It's like, I don't think I need to do this anymore.
All right, so Language really is the first like fully formed version of the band.
Yeah,
complete,
definitely.
All the members. So what happens after that? Catch me up on between 2017 and 2019. Obviously, you're playing a lot. You're writing more songs. Are you just sort of like, are you touring? Are you just sort of getting to know the local music scene and getting embedded in that?
We have not toured at all, but that's gonna
happen. It's prohibitively expensive. I don't blame any band for not touring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the one thing holding us back still, but it's a different conversation.
No, like after Language came out, we're like, okay, well, it's time to write new songs. And we hunkered down, the four of us, and like started writing songs together, because before that, like, those songs were already written before Joe joined. And then we had the idea, I think we just like bought a new interface or something, and we got a couple mics, and we were like, let's just record at the house and see what happens. And we started recording the album towards the end of 2017, actually. So we've been working on it for a while.
It takes a while.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
And I'm super glad that we took the time to really do it like that way, the way that we did, because
I would describe most of that time frame as us just like exercising those songs live,
right?
Yeah. To just get a better idea of what does and doesn't work.
I think I saw you all at the Tomato Art Festival like a year ago.
Where we got told to turn down.
Yes. Good. Yeah, thank you.
It was good.
It was hot.
That was a hot show.
It was really, really hot.
It was blazing. I was like, how are bands standing this?
My whole body was wet.
So talk to me about this album and like what you've been doing so far with this promotional cycle. Like, I see there are three songs out already.
Soon to be four.
Soon to be four. How many songs are on the album?
Eight total.
Are you going to do previews for each single leading up? Or is the whole album going to be released as singles?
We're halfway there.
Yeah.
We're milking it all the way.
I mean, Okie Dokie did that, right? Like, they've released like 12 singles in the last year, and I think that's the entire record. Just because I think from like the Spotify perspective, where it's like they only will field songs for their playlists that are new releases. Like, if you send them an album and you're like, oh yeah, this song's the good one, they're like, cool, we didn't like it, and then you're that's it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're doing singles like you guys are doing here, this is really smart. You have four opportunities or eight opportunities to be like, now this one, now this one.
I feel like originally we probably intended to release the album sooner.
Definitely.
We did,
yeah.
I think we were planning on doing two singles and then the album.
Yeah, we were thinking actually like the end of last summer would be when it comes out, but that obviously didn't happen.
Which is why two of the singles came out last year.
Because everything that's come about since then has made it better.
So when you were planning to release it previously, were you connected with Cold Lunch at that point? Or has that come since then?
Not directly.
Okay.
We had been playing shows that they put together, but we weren't actually, we didn't really know them personally.
Yeah.
And we weren't on their roster yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the timing of all of that has worked out really well. It's
been cool. Well, how did that come about?
I think really just through playing shows that they'd put on. And I think I met Taylor at like the Discover thing at UCO that Megan Loveless put together. And I don't know, we hit it off and realized that they were putting on good shows, and we started to get to play their shows, and we like made a point to try and meet them and get something going, and they liked our music, which is cool. So
I feel like there was a night we were playing at Five Spot too, and Taylor and Gary were there, I want to say, and we were talking to them after our set or something like that.
Even if it wasn't us playing, there was a couple times we just saw them out and like, you know, kind of hit it off, and we're talking about collaborating on some stuff, and then they jumped on board. And
yeah, and once they put us on a few bills, it became more of an official affiliation after, you know, some meetups.
And then we signed our soul away to
not.
Yeah, I'm sure they have very aggressive contracts.
It's very chill.
They seem amazing. Like we had them in here and interviewed them, kind of got the history of the label, and it's just a delight to talk to them. Like
they really are, like the
roster is amazing. Like
they're all bright people.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Just like,
so good job getting connected there. Got hooked in. That's cool.
Yeah.
So like, what's your plan next? I guess like this album is like right around the corner. A month is really not that long.
No, it is.
You got
not.
Like 5 weeks now, 6 weeks till it's out.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big release show planned?
We do.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It's at Dark Matter.
We're sharing the headlining spot with Meth Dad. Tyler Walker,
mm-hmm.
He's kicking off his tour that night, and then Treasure Mammal
is
his friend who's on tour.
Like fully official, like there's not an event page. It's basically confirmed, but not like super mega official.
Yeah, as it stands right now, that's the plan.
Yeah, so like we had it booked on the 12th, and then Tyler texted me and Brian yesterday actually, and was like, "Hey, I see you boys got Dark Matter on the 12th. Do you want to just throw a big party and let's all play?" And we were like, "Yeah, that sounds great." Because we were still trying to figure out who else to ask to be on the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we actually talked about asking him if he wanted to do it, and so the stars aligned a little bit.
Yeah, kismet. That's great.
And then we got Tummy Ache on the show as well, who we've been trying to play a show with for some time now, finally making it happen.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on just the Nashville music scene in general? I mean, it seems like it's done well for you, but has it been hard to sort of break into it? Like, do you feel welcomed? Do you feel like you found a niche?
Yes and no. It has been a little bit hard.
Get raw. Let's talk about it.
There are a lot of bands. And there are a lot of shows. And every night. So when you want to do something, you have to make it a thing that people will stop people because they're used to bands and they're, which I'm not saying that we've necessarily done super well, but like, you have to take people by surprise or catch their attention in some other way other than just being a band and making songs.
The competition is fierce.
Yeah. Sure. But that said, like the Cold Lunch crew and like all those bands, I feel like we feel a nice connection to like that sort of scene and that like more DIY rock scene, which
definitely
seems to be flourishing.
Yeah, it seems like we have more of an audience or a crowd or just like friends than we would have had maybe like when we first moved here. Because the scene has changed a little bit, and now it's like it's gone pretty well with our style and how we jive with things, and like I like the direction that the Nashville scene is going in general with the music.
For sure.
Yeah. What do you feel is the predominant vibe of the scene? Because I feel like it's so subjective. Like it's kind of just like what you're tuned into. Like
it's like what venues are you going to?
Yeah, I mean,
so like it was garage rock forever, I think, for at least 10 or 15 years, and I think now there's a little bit more of a, I don't want to say it's all just because of like a 90s throwback thing, but there's definitely more of like a grunge scene or alternative, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
That like people are into.
You're not
like
saying anything offensive. That's all right. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think the atmosphere overall is a little bit more inclusive and more open-minded than it was or has been in the past.
Yeah.
Especially towards females and
absolutely
LGBTQT community.
QT.
Just the cute community.
Flip that around, my bad. You know what I mean.
Well, yeah, you know, I tend to agree. I think, you know, you talked about Uko Studios recently. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah,
that's what we say. That's right.
We love playing there. It's great.
Yeah.
I think I went out to their like yard sale that they had like a couple weeks ago. I think you played at.
We played, mm-hmm.
And I sat around while the bands were setting up, and I was like, oh man, I'm too hot to stand out of this.
And there's not a lot of shade.
And I'm not here with anyone, so I am going to leave. And I missed everything.
Where are you from originally? Are you from Nashville?
Yeah, I'm from here.
Okay.
Yeah. The suburbs. From Franklin. Can't say I'm from Nashville.
Kindred spirits.
Hello.
Yeah. Went to Grassland Middle School.
Oh, boy.
And then Page High School.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This means nothing to me, but...
Yeah.
You had the real... You were out in the woods.
Yeah. Page is the rural high school in Williamson County, and it's still rural, which is kind of crazy considering how much Williamson County has grown. Where were you playing in Williamson County with local coffee shops?
Well, my memory is not very good. I really don't remember names mm-hmm. of places.
Yeah.
But
there were places that supported that sort of thing.
I mean, I played house shows in Nashville. I played a couple of coffee shops in Nashville and then like some in Murfreesboro that I remember. And then there have been a few in Franklin that have either closed or changed names. The Good Cup was the one Good that Cup. I played. It's a pretty cute place out in the middle of nowhere.
Is there a music scene in Franklin? Real question. I have no idea.
No, there is not. There was at a time, but it was very much a bunch of high school kids that played pop punk. So, yeah. I mean, the Mercantile was like the place to go for those shows.
Okay.
And there was that glass, the entire, like half of the building was a glass wall, and it would just fog up in the summertime because there were just a bunch of sweaty, shirtless dudes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was, I think, the music scene in Franklin, which...
When I was in high school, which was many, many moons ago, there was kind of a punk sort of scene, yeah. And it was baffling because Williamson County is so privileged and yeah. so white. It's like, why are you writing punk music?
But it's the private school boys that are doing it.
Right. They're very angry at all of their absolutely. Things that they have received.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's true of most punk. I'm not sure. But so, I mean, I'm not hating on Franklin. I grew up there, got lots of love for it. I mean, the original Rocket Town is from Franklin, y'all. I don't know if you knew that or not. Started in Cool Springs. So,
damn.
Yeah.
There you go.
I saw the Features play there in 1996.
Oh, yeah.
I was 3 years old.
The Features were a band in 1996.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
I remember seeing them back in Murfreesboro. Early 2000s.
Yeah, they had some band lineup changes since then, but yeah. I mean they were a band in 96. I think their first EP
Exhibit A is a great album. Yeah, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. So you're settled into Nashville's music scene now. You feel like you've found like a little bit of a home. I mean, what is next? Just continue to play shows. You're talking about maybe touring a little bit. Like, to just make sure we've got that fully covered.
Yeah, we need to play out of town as much as possible.
Yeah, basically. I think we would all agree that's...
Ideally, next we all get, like, the album somehow. We sell a million tapes, and then we all get to quit our day jobs and go on tour full time. That's the plan.
Is that, like, your... Was that your vision when starting a band at first? Was, like, I want to go on tour? Or was it more just,
for
like...
For me, yeah. That's what I want.
I often wonder if that's, like, a thing that bands want, or if it's a thing that bands have been told they need to do.
That's kind of how it is for me. I'm just like, that's fine, but I'm like, it's fun, but like, that's not like a goal for me. It's I just prefer the making music part of it more than the
right
the logistics.
Right. Yeah. Not that you don't enjoy playing live.
Yeah.
But the
I
best
love
part,
playing live. Right. But yeah, that's not my favorite part.
Yeah, I want the lifestyle and the craziness and the terrible schedules and just like being in a different place every day.
I
embrace that. Like, I want that.
You want that Taco Bell bean burrito every night?
Yeah, with the crazy, just like, no structure. Fuck me up, fam.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like ultimately, like, the umbrella goal is to be self-sustainable from making art.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, typically that means touring, because that's how you make money,
right,
generally speaking.
Yeah, got to.
Whether that's the most ideal avenue... Like, as far as a fantasy, like, in your mind, I don't know.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe doing it for, like, a part of the year and then being able to just work on music
like
for the rest of the year would be...
I know I said what I just said, but I think the downtime would be really nice as well. Like, having that contrast of, like, you know, like
right.
hitting it really hard and going crazy and, like, being exhausted and losing your mind for a while and then just, like, having some time to recoup and, like, write songs mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean...
It's a flow I could get into.
Maybe I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like we're all... very much passionate about making music and making art. So if that's something that you can sustain yourself with, I mean
that's the dream that for a lot of people. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a hard road, but I think if you can, even if you can find a little bit of it, not even like fully sustaining yourself on it, but just like a little bit of it, it's pretty rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely wish you luck on that.
Thank
for
you.
Sure. So I do want to ask, like, if you want to give any shout outs to like any kindred spirits in town, any other bands, any other anecdotes or tales you want to share. I mean, we kind of have the history of the band. Like, I'm going to play some of these singles. I'll play the new single cool. with this episode. But, you know, just like, what do you want to say about Nashville? Like, the most of the listenership of the show is pretty local based. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to just shout out a band, or if you want to be like, man, the Cobra, I can't believe they went smoking again. That's insane. Why, you know,
Cobra's
why they do?
Smoking
did
that again?
Yeah, no, that's announced it yesterday.
Wow. We didn't even that is that. News.
Not in the venue.
Okay.
Oh, but in the bar, in the bar yeah. section.
That's you got to see the Instagram because they posted like the announcement, and all the comments are like, "Never like going back. Never going back."
People were pissed.
Yeah,
that's
people were pissed.
That's kind of awesome, though. I don't know.
That's way more their vibe, though.
That's punk.
It is.
Punk.
Yeah, it's very fitting. That's I very wish I didn't quit smoking.
I'm the only one that still smokes cigarettes.
Cobra and smokes cigarettes.
Yeah, is that really what you want to do? No, Joe and I were just on Acme Radio earlier today, and we got to play some songs.
Oh, cool.
And we picked some of our friends. And I think if, as far as shout outs go, Bleary, we played a song by them. They're our favorite band in Nashville.
What's Joe it? Made a face. What's your favorite band in Nashville, Joe?
Joe doesn't like them.
No, that's not true. That's just a bold statement to make.
Sorry.
It's hard to pick a favorite.
I'm taking a step back. My bad.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I think I agree with you. I just don't think everybody should.
It's not something we're supposed to say. We don't play favorites.
Right.
We love everybody.
Right. Right.
Bleary is a great band, though.
They're really
yes.
solid.
Well, there you go, Bleary. Woo! Yeah,
so only enjoys Bleary. Only band that they like.
We're all in agreement here.
Yeah.
No, we like other bands. But they all end in Y or I.
We just have a special little crush on them, you know?
So
why
we really just want to play a show with them, you know.
They're just there are very few bands in Nashville that I think are going for that kind of aesthetic, that kind of like 90s Creation Records kind of deal, and they do it really well without sounding like a generic ripoff of that.
Yep.
Which a lot of bands have done.
They don't sound like they're trying to do it. It just kind of comes naturally.
I really like that about them.
Agreed. I like Bleary. Wow. Bleary, this is your episode. Well, I think that's it. I'd be more than happy to play the new single here at the end of the show. If you want me to play some Bleary or any other bands at the end of the show, I'll be happy to as well. Love to have a little playlist that goes along. Just, I mean, on your Spotify page, there's multiple playlists at mm-hmm. the bottom that are just like bands that you enjoy. I was mm-hmm. listening to them today. It's great selections.
Thank you.
So I will include those in the episode detail page for this as well. And
nice.
You know, just kind of get you out there in the world a little bit. So
yeah, we appreciate it. Very
absolutely.
Much.
Really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was simple.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, that's it. That was a fun chat, right? I really appreciate the band coming in, talking to me. And as promised, here's the band's latest single, Why Not, followed by the previous single, Ride Out, just so you get both vibes from the band, the dreamy and the somewhat punky.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us at weownthistown.net and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @weownthistown. So get in touch with us. Tell us what to play, who to interview, and what we're missing. The music bed for this show is from Upright T-Rex Music. Find them at uprightt-rexmusic.com. Thanks for listening. Talk at you later. Bye.
What's new with you?
Well, just putting out these podcasts, man.
You know, trying to do the Bill and Ted thing.
Right? I do the Bill and Ted. I mean, I'm not on it, but I help put it out into the world. Yeah. So we're having a show June 9th at Vinyl Tap. That's a Bill and Ted day. Wow. 6-9, dude.
Are
so
people doing,
come
like,
out.
Do you think they're themed like Bill and Ted?
No, it's wow, just more like beer specials and vinyl giveaways.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is the new movie going to be good?
Is it true that they're making a new movie?
Oh, it's true. Yes. Yeah, Bill and Ted 3, so. Face the Music.
What do you think?
That's what it's called. I think it'll be interesting. Even if it's a total train wreck, it'll be good, right?
Like, I mean, the first two kind of were in a way.
I mean, have you seen Alex Winter in the last 20 years?
No.
He did not age great. So
looks a little crusty.
Well, the whole conceit of the movie, I know you were not serious about this question, but I'm going to give you way too many details.
Serious. Absolutely.
You know, Bill and Ted 1 and 2 is about, like, Rufus comes back from the future, and he's like, hey, uh-huh. You guys are going to write the song that saves the world. You're going to create utopia through your music. Bill and Ted 3 is 20 years later, and they have not written that song yet. And it's about them, like, feeling just like, we are the saviors of the world. We've met a guy from the future who told us our future, but they can't write the song.
That actually makes me more intrigued to see it now.
I got to say, we've been talking about Bill and Ted this whole time. I thought you guys were talking about Tim and Eric, and I didn't even know what you were talking about.
Yeah, Tim and Eric 3.
Very close.
I was really confused.
I would be very into seeing that as well. Like a Tim and Eric take on Bill and Ted 3 before the movie comes out.
Oh.
Just another idea out there for the world.
Start workshopping that.